Welcome back. It's the third hour of Issues Etc. Do a little sermon review here. Normally, we wouldn't have to devote an entire hour to Robert Schuller, but because his sermons are usually rather brief, but this one's longer. This one is a special occasion for Robert Schuller. I think you'd be able to tell towards the end of the sermon that he's quite a bit choked up. There's a reason for that. His son is taking over as senior pastor at the Crystal Cathedral on January 22nd. This may be, in fact, I have a strong feeling it is the last sermon being preached by Robert Schuller as senior pastor of the Crystal Cathedral. That's a significant event. Made the AP Newswire. We played a little bit of audio for you before. So we're going to review the sermon the same way we always do. I'll give you a hint here. When I was listening to this before, I actually heard Robert Schuller. This is a rarity. He actually mentioned Jesus. That's a rare occurrence, but he did it. Now, normally, lately, we've been reviewing the sermons of the younger, now the senior pastor there at Crystal Cathedral, Robert Schuller Jr. But the elder, kind of a classic. I mean, it might be classic Coke rather than a nice bottle of wine. It might be sweet and fizzy, but it sounds so familiar to all of us. But we use the same criteria on every sermon we review. Our simple three-part diagnostic. By the way, I'm writing an article for the Issues Etc. journal coming out, probably mailed sometime later this month, on how to listen to a sermon. And it includes the diagnostic, but also a lot of other things as well. Be looking for that, if you would. A little more detail on the diagnostic than we get into when we do it on the air. But here it is. Part one. Listen to the sermon and count how often Jesus is mentioned. This is simple stuff. Just keep a running tally. That doesn't, in and of itself, tell you much, because sermons can mention Jesus all over the place and still not be a good Christ-centered, cross-focused sermon. That's why it's only the first part of the diagnostic. Part two, if Jesus is mentioned, listen to the sermon and do the grammar. The grammar is simple. Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? Every sentence has a subject and a verb, at least. So, when you hear Jesus mentioned, ask yourself this question and do the simple grammar we all learned in the third grade. Is Jesus the subject of the verb each time he's mentioned? Or does he have a different place in the grammar of the sentence? Is he object? Is he the one doing the action? Is he the one driving the verbs, the one running the verbs? Or is he passive, the one being acted upon rather than the one doing the action? That's part two. Now, that in and of itself still doesn't tell you what you need to know to determine whether you're listening to a Christ-centered and cross-focused sermon. You do know that Jesus has been mentioned. That's good, because if Jesus isn't mentioned at all, the sermon isn't about him. A Jesus-less sermon is a gospel-less sermon. Don't listen for God or the deity or the big man upstairs. Listen for Jesus or variations thereupon, Christ, Redeemer, our Savior, things like that. Is he the subject of the verbs? That's good, too, if he is. And if he is, go on to part three. If Jesus is mentioned and he's the subject of the verbs, then what are those verbs? What is the preacher telling you that Jesus has done or is doing or will do for you? The verbs are crucial. They're really the key to this diagnostic. What are they? Is this the Jesus who acts as your example, shows you how, demonstrates what to do? Is this the Jesus who teaches you or enlightens you or educates you? Is this the Jesus in a life coach or therapy model who motivates or inspires or empowers or enables you? Now, none of those things in and of themselves are wrong. But they're still not the gospel. You haven't got to the gospel until you have a Jesus who is the one who lives for you and suffers for you and is crucified and dies for you and rises again for you. Then you've got the gospel in a sermon. So as Jesus mentioned, is he the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? Those are the three parts. When you're done, you can step back, get the big picture, and ask yourself, in general, what has the preacher told me is my problem? This is key for understanding Schuller's sermons. He's very good at diagnosing a problem when he preaches. What is the problem he diagnoses? And what is the solution he offers? This is from the 1st of January, the Crystal Cathedral, Robert Schuller, preaching there from the pulpit.
It was in 1955 that Mr. Schuller and I came with a dream. An impossible dream. Fantastic dream. To give our whole life to building one church, only one. For the glory of God and for the greater glory of His kingdom all over the world. Well, this is what I've learned. I went to bed the other night and I prayed through all of the possibilities of what would be the opening message of the year. And I got ideas in my mind and I said, Arvella, don't bother me. Just give me paper and a pen. I've got to go to write. So I went to the library with this yellow pad and with a ballpoint pen. And this is what came out. And I feel it's from God, so I'm probably going to read most of it. Get real. Listen to me. I've been there. And let me tell you, life is one long, lucky road. Lucky? Yes. I'm talking to the secularist. The Christian would use the word blessing. Life is one long, lucky road, up or down, good luck or bad luck, but at the end, to the believer, it's all good luck. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those that love God and keep His commandments. And to you who say you've never experienced God, He's up there someplace, and yes, you believe in Him, but you really haven't had Him in your life, you are so wrong. Everybody listening to me has experienced what you can all call good luck or bad luck. That's not a fantasy. That's a reality. And after 50 years here experiencing it, well, I preach possibility thinking all the time. I still do. You have to make it happen. You have to be responsive and responsible. You have to have the courage and the faith and the determination. I've lived it. It works. I'll preach it the rest of my life.
Now, this is, if you ever heard a Robert Schuller sermon, this is quintessential. This is, it boiled down to his essence. You know, the last time he gets to stand in the pulpit as the senior pastor there, and he's going to say what he has to say, I want you to notice a few things. Look, there is no doubt about it. You want to talk about charlatans out there in the world of pulpits and preachers. In my book, a charlatan is someone who knows they're deceiving people, but does it anyway. Robert Schuller is not a charlatan. He really, truly believes what he says. Now, I don't know that for positive, because I cannot read his mind, but every indication I've had of reviewing his sermons and reading his books and talking to him on the air, he's a true believer in what he preaches. Possibility thinking, as he just said it, you have to make it happen. You have to be responsive and responsible. If it's going to be, it's up to you. He really, truly believes it, and he really, truly believes that he's lived it, and therefore anybody can do it. He believes that he has made it happen for him by thinking the right way. So he comes at the end of 50 years handing off the torch to his son there in Garden Grove, and his reflection is, I get the credit for everything that's happened. Now, if you want the credit for what happens in your life, get busy. Now, he calls it good luck. That is the strangest term I've ever heard a preacher use. And that's going to be the kind of the theme of the sermon. I know that he doesn't mean what the people in Vegas mean by luck. Well, actually, he might. But the people in Vegas, when they say luck, they mean, look, it's just the law of probabilities. Most people, when they say luck, they mean somehow, some way, I got things to turn my way today. That's what they mean by luck. In Vegas, it's all math. It has to be. It's their livelihood. They don't depend on luck. They depend upon the sheer law of probability. Now, when Robert Shuler says luck, oddly enough, I think he means, well, I think he thinks he means grace. Now, that's not what luck is, and luck is certainly not grace, and grace is certainly not luck, but when he uses the term good luck, listen to how he talks about it in the course of this sermon. He talks about luck the way other preachers would talk about the grace of God, the undeserved favor of God for Christ's sake. That in the place of grace, he puts luck. This is how he reflects upon 50 years of ministry. And the other thing you need to note about Robert Shuler, if you never heard another sermon, is that when he talks about faith and hope and all the, and aspiration, all the things he just mentioned there, when he says faith, he does not, and this is confirmed by our conversation with him earlier last year, he does not mean faith in Jesus. He means faith in yourself. That was very clear. We cleared that up. He means faith in yourself. So, if you want 50 years of success the way he's had 50 years of success, if you want to live the possibility the way he's lived the possibilities, just follow what he does. And you too will have, again, it's a weird way to talk about it, you two will have good luck.
But let me put a little frosting on the cake. In the final analysis, comes down to luck. After all you've done, all you've paid for, you land up with good things like this. You have to admit, life's one long, lucky road. And if you've never experienced something lucky in your life, then you can be an atheist. People say he's a lucky guy, you bet. Secretly, I would call it, I'm blessed. But let's just look at the reality of luck in life. This is my testimony. God is real. Check my life if you want to. It's been written, my journey. Let me show you how God blesses you.
I have to ask you Shuler fans out there, and I know there are a few of you, what in the world do you do with this? A preacher standing in the pulpit reflecting upon 50 years of ministry, having met with a lot of success, and saying, I guess I was lucky. Oh, secretly I'd say blessed. Why secretly? Aren't you the preacher? Aren't you the one to proclaim these things? Secretly you'd say blessed, but in public you say lucky? That's why I said before, I think he thinks he means grace when he says luck. It's weird that he would talk about it that way because, of course, luck and grace are two very different things. Maybe that is his view of grace. Rather than God's undeserved favor toward a sinner, solely for Christ's sake, that's grace. In Shuler's view, maybe it is, well, God will bless you if you think he will. I don't know, it doesn't work at the craps table, it doesn't work at the roulette table, it doesn't work in Vegas, in the casino. You can walk in and think you're going to win. And Vegas is what Vegas is because everyone who walks in there thinks they're going to win. And they're wrong. But Robert Shuler says, it's a good way to live your life, thinking of it in terms of being lucky, rather than under the grace of God. Well, you know, if you don't have sin in your vocabulary, and he was clear with us when we talked to him earlier last year, that he has expunged the word sin from his vocabulary. He just thinks that's a downer. People don't like it. They get turned off by it. So he doesn't talk about sin. If you expunge that word from your vocabulary, then you're going to have to take a couple other words out of your vocabulary too, like Savior. If you don't have sin, you don't need a Savior. In fact, there's really no place for a Savior if there's no sin. So if you're not going to talk about sin, don't talk about a Savior. I mean, at least be consistent. And he is. And so what are you left with? You are left with either calling it blind chance or, in Robert Schuller's terms, calling it luck and saying, well, but you know, lucky people make lucky things happen because they think like lucky people. They think in terms of good luck rather than bad luck. And that's, I think, where this sermon might be going.
On this lucky road. How does good luck happen? Number one, God blesses us without consulting us first. We get an idea. We didn't ask for it. We get a dream. We didn't plan it. Boy, what a lucky idea I had. God blesses us without consulting us first. Two, God blesses us without our approval. Because he knows. We wouldn't agree. We would see the price, or the peril, or the pain, or the problems, and we would show him all of these difficulties and obstacles. So he doesn't seek our approval. He doesn't want an argument. He gives us the dream. Number three, God blesses us where we need it most. And we can never guess where that is, but he knows. That's why he doesn't consult us. That's why we don't see or sense. We could talk to God now, and if God would say to us, he would say to you, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you with the blessing you ask for, or the blessing you want me to give. Listen, make a list of all the blessings you'd like. I often, you know, traveling the world, give people blessings. I often say, may God bless you where you need the blessing most, and he knows that better than you. Make a list of all your blessings. 1, 2, 3, 4, down to 10. I know what some of you would put number one. That chemotherapy will do the trick. I know what others would put. That you run into more and better money. Get your bills paid. I know what others would list as the number one blessing, that you'll rise to the top in your job. You list all these blessings. Someone else, that she'll fall in love with me because I need her and love her. List all the blessings you could possibly hope for. Make a list. Show it to God. And then say, God, bless me where I need it most. And guess what? 9 times out of 10, it's not number one. It's not number two. It's not number three or number four. It may be something you never even thought of. Might be, what you need more than anything else is more faith. Oh. More trust. Oh. We had lunch with Don Ayers.
All right, before he goes on with his, this is, again, quintessential Robert Schuller. Never preaches a sermon without mentioning a name of someone famous and how he had lunch or traveled with or had pictures taken alongside, anything like that. But that's just, look, this is just what you get when you listen to Robert Schuller. It's one of the last few times you get to listen to him, so here you go. A strong confusion between... He's using the term luck, and then he starts talking about God's blessings. Between luck and blessings, the question still remains, why does God bless you? You see, that's why I mentioned before that he has expunged sin from his vocabulary. You take sin out of the vocabulary, and you don't have to ask or even answer the question, well, why does God bless me? It's automatic. He's going to bless me because he's good and I'm good. And he's nice and I'm nice. And I got nothing against him and he's got nothing against me. Now, there's no Jesus in there to make everything right between us because everything already is right. Because there's no sin. When we interviewed him, he said, man's problem is not his sin, it's his shame. Man's problem isn't that he's a sinner, it's that he's ashamed of himself. And he simply needs to stop being ashamed of himself and be who God made him to be. Live up to his potential. And you don't need Jesus dead on a cross to do any of that. Which is why, so far in the sermon, I think I've been listening pretty carefully, he hasn't mentioned Jesus. You don't need him. This is like Pastor Borghardt mentioned some months back on the program, a great case of a sermon that can be preached without the cross. He says, if you can preach a sermon without the cross of Jesus Christ, it's not a Christian sermon. But if a sermon can't be preached without the cross, then it's a Christian sermon. And that's what we're listening for when we do this three-part diagnostic. All we're doing is saying, where's Jesus and what's he doing? And if Jesus isn't there, he isn't there so far. He will make a brief appearance here near the end of the sermon. If Jesus isn't there, there may be a reason for it. Maybe Robert Schuller doesn't think we need him. Now, when we interviewed him, just to be fair, he said he didn't deny that Jesus came and made the sacrifice for us and to, make us at peace with God. But he has a very different definition of that whole event. He doesn't deny the historical events of Christ's life and death and resurrection. They just serve a different purpose. For Robert Schuller, they are a symbol of something greater. Jesus isn't at the cross doing something. He's at the cross demonstrating something. You see the difference there? Jesus isn't at the cross actually saving us, actually accomplishing anything. He's simply there giving us a giant object lesson of how much God loves us, and we shouldn't worry about God anyway. There's no sacrifice at the cross for Robert Schuller. There's just a demonstration of God's love. Again, and you find it not only in Schuller, but in other theologies as well. When the cross is reduced to a symbol for something else, when Jesus dead on the cross becomes a demonstration of something even greater than the Son of God dying for sinners, then you do not have Christian preaching any longer. For Robert Schuller, Jesus didn't have to go to the cross and die. He could have gone to the cross, stood next to it, and said, if it took this, I would hang on this cross and die for you. But suffice it to say, God loves you, and he's got nothing against you. Now, just please believe that. That's a very different Savior than the one who says, the Son of Man must be handed over to the chief priests and the rulers and the elders of the people, be betrayed and handed over to death, crucified, and on the third day rise again. We'll be right back. More review of Robert Schuller's sermon.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
People think of C.S. Lewis as the author of the Chronicles of Narnia, or the author of Mere Christianity, or Surprised by Joy, or any of his other books. But C.S. Lewis was an educator. What did C.S. Lewis, perhaps the most influential Christian apologist in the 20th century, have to say about his chosen vocation? Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for January is called Irrigating Deserts, C.S. Lewis on Education. For more information about Irrigating Deserts, go to our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find the book on the homepage. Or you can order Irrigating Deserts for $22.99 from Concordia Publishing House. Call them toll-free, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Irrigating Deserts.
Alexander, now did he encounter a dinosaur?
Answers with Ken Ham.
co-author of the children's book, What Really Happened to the Dinosaurs? Ken, we've all heard of the adventures of Alexander the Great over 2,000 years ago, but I've never heard anything about him seeing a dinosaur.
Well, in one of my favorite 19th century commentaries I use for Bible study, I came across an interesting reference from an old history book. Let me read the quote to you. Quote, Elenius speaks of a dragon in India, which, when it perceived Alexander's army near at hand, gave such a prodigious hiss and blast that it greatly frightened and disturbed the whole army. End of quote. As I often state in my lectures on dinosaurs, I believe that many of the dragon legends of old could be accounts of encounters with large animals that today we call dinosaurs. Many of descriptions of the dragons in the old history books actually fit with the descriptions of some of the dinosaurs like T-Rex, Stegosaurus, and so on. You know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Alexander came across a live dinosaur, which would have been referred to in his day as a dragon. From a biblical perspective, dinosaurs and people lived at the same time as land animals anyway, as they were made on the same day as Adam and Eve. If you believe the Bible, Alexander may have met a real dinosaur.
Our website will answer more of your questions about the fascinating dinosaurs. Go to AnswersRadio.com. By the way, this week we're offering free of charge Ken's booklet, What Really Happened to the Dinosaurs? Just go to our website, AnswersRadio.com.
Well, you've got that brand new 2006 calendar before you, and our question is, do you have a significant day in January that you would like to commemorate on AM 850 KFUO? We have lots of open days during the month of January for day sponsorship. Give us a call if you'd like more information. Day sponsorship is a great way to support the ministry of AM 850 KFUO. Give us a call for more information about being a day sponsor during January on AM 850 KFUO.
King of Glory Lutheran School invites you to celebrate the Epiphany of our Lord this Sunday, January 8th, 3 p.m. at Holy Cross Lutheran Church. The King of Glory Children's Choir will be joined by the choirs, handbells, and brass choirs of Historic Trinity, Messiah, St. John's, and Holy Cross Lutheran Churches. Also, the Lancer Singers of Lutheran High School South and the Gateway Brass Quintet. Join us this Sunday at 3 p.m. as we celebrate and sing. Holy Cross Lutheran Church is located at 2650 Miami Street, one block west of Concordia Publishing House.
On the next Midday Living Jubilee, live at 11:05 on AM 850 KFUO. Join Paul Clayton and me, Diane Summers. We'll visit with the folks from Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri. We'll talk about the Bringawatt Social Justice Awards Dinner. And it's Epiphany, so we'll talk Epiphany music with Ron Clem from Joy on the next Living Jubilee, 11:05 on AM 850 KFUO.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. All right, 25 minutes left. We are probably only less than halfway through the Robert Schuller sermon here. His last sermon as senior pastor, reflecting on 50 years at the Crystal Cathedral. Well, actually, the church that would become the Crystal Cathedral, founded 50 years ago. The Crystal Cathedral actually didn't go up until the mid-80s. But he's reflecting upon this, and he has been talking a lot about luck. Where most preachers would talk about grace, he's talking about luck. And he says it's attached to the promises of God. So what he wants you to do is, if you want to have a life like his, and he says, I've proven it. I've proven possibility thinking works. Read my books. I've proven it. If you want what he has, then make a list of your dreams. Now, he says these dreams actually come from God first. God will give you a dream, and then he wants you to make a list of these dreams, and then hold it up to God and say, bless me. And then it'll happen. Now, he says, this is what he's done. Now, you might say, well, doesn't he have the action right? I mean, isn't that someone who depends on God for everything they have? I guess you could think of it that way, but I'm pretty sure that's not what he means. He's not talking about dependent. When he says faith, it's faith in yourself. It's not faith in God. When he says, well, maybe you need more faith. He's talking about self-esteem. There's no doubt about that. So is he talking about someone depending upon God for everything they have? Or is he talking about God wants to bless you, but what he wants you to do really is think in terms of possibilities. Make your dreams a reality by thinking them into reality. He wants you to depend upon yourself and your dreams and your ability to think them into reality. That's what he means. That's not depending on God. That's the opposite. That's depending on yourself. And as far as that's concerned, is God even really necessary to that entire system? Couldn't someone equally say, look, the universe is great. And the universe will turn your way if you just believe it will. That's what someone who really believes in luck would say. Luck is blind chance. All right, back to the sermon. Robert Schuller's last as the senior pastor at the Crystal Cathedral.
We had lunch with Don Ayers, and he reminded me that on a Saturday night, he and his wife, there was a knock at the door. They opened the door, two men with a gun. They made him lie down on the floor, and he said, my face was in the dust. They stole. They didn't shoot us, but I can still remember the steel touching the skin, the gun on my temple. We didn't want to go to church the next morning, but we went anyway. And Dr. Schuller, you threw out a line. You tested it with your wife. She said, don't use it, it's silly. But you used it anyway. The line was, when your face is in the dust, all you can do is trust. God blesses us where we need it most. He knows you a lot better than you do. He knows the future. You don't. So you'll be blessed with surprises of joy. And you'll say, oh, a great thing happened. You can't believe. Number four. Life's one long, lucky road. Our values, too easily, are not priced right in our mind. We put too high a value and pay too big a price for lots of things. God knows it isn't worth it. That's why you don't get it. God loves you. So we don't get the job we want, or experience the relationship we hope for, or get the invitation to the event and others were got a ticket. Why didn't we? We don't see that missing it is a blessing.
Now, he has a bit of a point here, and that is, and he's going to expand upon this a little bit more. Yes, we do misinterpret what are blessings and what aren't. Now, keep in mind that he doesn't mean the same thing as the Bible means when it talks about blessings. But it's, insofar as his point goes, he's right. We do have a tendency to think of blessings of things going our way rather than sometimes adversity is blessing. So that point is true. I mean, even the blind squirrel finds the nut. He's mentioned God a lot, hasn't he? God's all over this sermon. God's up there blessing us. He's up there turning the universe our way, the long, lucky road of life. God's helping us think possibility thinking so that he can do his thing. God, 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 God. Lots of God all over this sermon. No Jesus. And you might say, isn't God good enough that he mentions God and not Jesus? Does he have to be that specific? Yes, he does. Anyone can talk about God. In fact, at this point, it's really unclear as to what God he's talking about. It could be any God. Now, does he believe in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? I think he does. But it goes back to that question of why such a God would be blessing you in the first place. To answer that question, if you believe in sin, you need a Savior. You need Jesus in there. He doesn't have sin, so he doesn't need Jesus, so he doesn't mention him. And just talking about God in general is fine. But God loves you. God will bless you. God wants to help you. Isn't the gospel? God loves you for Christ's sake because of what Christ did for you. That's the gospel. God blesses us for Christ's sake. That also is the gospel. Without Jesus, there's no gospel. even if God is all over the sermon. That's why we talk about the two terms together that are never divorced from one another, Christ-centered, cross-focused. People claim, I'm going to preach a Christ-centered sermon, and they might even talk about Jesus, but they never get to the cross. Well, if it isn't cross-focused, it isn't Christ-centered. That's why we put the two terms together, Christ-centered, cross-focused. And without Christ, there's no cross, and without any cross, sinners have no hope. Even though he is trying to present hope, he is doing his best to try and make us hopeful for the life. But as long as you present life as a long, lucky road, rather than a life lived before a God who is merciful and forgiving of sin for Christ's sake, it will be a false hope. Back to the sermon.
What we call bad luck is good luck. Number 5. God blesses us where we need it most, when the timing is right. And we all need humility, but we don't know it. He does. We need humility because without it, the blessings of good luck would spoil us. And I'll tell you, every time before I got a big blessing, I went through pain. God was going to make sure that I would be, could be trusted with the big blessing he was going to give. I would have to be humble. You know, what happens to us may hurt us or disappoint us, but in time we will see the rejection was important conditioning. Soil preparation to the farmer, soul preparation, so that we could be trusted with the big thing he has for us. Number 6, God blesses us with good luck coming out of what we thought was bad luck. And at my stage of life, I can see and I can tell you that every time I've had bad luck, it always turns out to be good luck. May take 30 years. Or 40. Or 50. My life's been one long lucky road. Up and down. Up and down. But good luck. Good luck always comes through pain or tears or hurt or hardship or trial or testing. For all of life is birth and death. It's living and dying. It's beginning and ending. And every end is a new beginning. So every death is the first phase of a great new birth that's going to happen. The pain of childbirth. Wow. There's no newness of life without change. And change is almost always painful. But God knows that pain is always the prelude to new birth.
This is just weird. I mean, I've never heard someone use the terms. And, you know, I think Christians might be listening and say, he talked about new birth. He talked about death and life. But he talked about this life. He's not talking about the life that Christ brings. He's talking about your life, your long, lucky road, just like his long, lucky road. Ups and downs and life and death and birth. And he feels all very happy about it now, after 50 years. And it is this life he's talking about, not the life that Christ brings to us. Now, it would be, and new birth, what does that mean apart from Jesus Christ? Apart from the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I would know what it means if he were talking about the new birth that Paul talks about in Titus chapter 2 or 3, where he talks about the new birth, the washing of regeneration and the renewal in the Holy Spirit poured out on us richly in Jesus Christ. Well, there's Jesus. There he is talking about the death and resurrection of Jesus, being buried with Christ in baptism, being united with his death and his resurrection. Now, there's the cross. There's something, there's a definition for new birth that I think we can find very clearly in the Bible. But when he says new birth, I don't know what he means. Is it just that every day is a new day? Every cloud has a silver lining. You get to start over. Every day is the first day of the rest of your life. Is that what this is? But I do understand, how Christians who ought to know better, but still could listen to Robert Schuller and say that sounded Christian-ish to me when they haven't actually heard Christ at all. Now, what they've done is they've taken this huge string of gaps and filled them all in for Robert Schuller, where he would have said, where he says luck, they hear grace. And where he says new birth, they hear the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And where he says God, they hear Jesus. But he's not saying it. And that's the whole point. I mean, that's no better than me standing in the pulpit and saying, dear friends, I've talked about this before. Dear friends, you all know what's wrong. I don't have to mention it. And you all know that someone, you know who, did something, you know what, to help you and to, you know what. So, be happy. So, rejoice. Now you have new birth. I haven't actually said anything at all, have I? I've left you to fill in the gaps. And sad to say, a lot of Christians are just doing that on Sunday morning with Robert Schuller and many other preachers. They're doing the preacher's job for him. Don't do the preacher's job for him. If he's called to be a preacher of the gospel, then he ought to preach the gospel and not preach something less than the gospel and expect you to fill it in. That's not being picky. That's not being demanding. Now, if he doesn't want to say he's called to preach the gospel, fine. He can go preach something else. But Christians have no business listening to it. We got a few minutes here, and the sermon is drawing to a close. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Back to Robert Schuller.
So pain is proof that I'm alive. It's a sign of progress. All of life is good luck. Romans 8:28. Aha. This is an aha moment. Now we can see very clearly how God blesses us without consulting us first. God blesses us without getting our approval. God blesses us before we pray for it. And God blesses us even though he knows we probably won't like it at the beginning. And God blesses us without checking our schedule and our calendar. God blesses us always. Whatever we call it, good luck or bad luck, if your face is in the dust, all you can do is trust. Trust tomorrow, yes. And so we trust God anyway. We live hopefully through life's stages of trial, trouble, yes, terror, knowing that God will have the first word and the last word, and both will be good. While we're going through the storm, listen to me. I have 50 years behind me here. When we go through the storm, we cry out, where is God? And I've walked with many of you as a pastor through the storms. as tragic as anything you can imagine. The crowd, where is God? I'll tell you where he is. He's backstage, designing a rainbow. Look, somebody says, it's a storm. Look at the rainbow.
Oh, my goodness. This is just, maybe I've been listening to too many of these things. I think I have. We've got to take a break sooner or later. The question is the right question during the storms of life. Where is God? That's the right question. That is the right question. Where is he? The answer Robert Schuller gives, he's backstage designing a rainbow. Woohoo! Let me give you the right answer to that question. Now, it will require, however, that I mention Jesus. I'm sorry, Dr. Schuller. And it will require that we think in terms of sin, our sin, and what Jesus determined to do for us and for our salvation. Sorry, Dr. Schuller. Where is God in the midst of suffering? Where is he in tragedy? Where is he in the storms of life? Now, notice Robert Schuller's storms of life consist of not getting invited to the soiree, or not getting the job you want, or the promotion you want. Those aren't storms, by the way, folks. That's just life. But the real storms of life, where is God? There's a really good answer to that question. Where is God in suffering? He's on the cross for you. I'll repeat what I said in two earlier conversations. Oz Guinness said this, and it's sticking in my mind. And we talked about it briefly with Pastor Matt Harrison a few minutes ago. Where is God in suffering? What is the Christian God? How is he different in the midst of suffering than any other God that's being proposed out there, even by Robert Schuller? Guinness says, no other God has wounds, and you cannot go so deep as Christ has not already gone deeper still for you. Where is God in suffering? He's at the cross, suffering and dying for you. Are you in suffering? Christ has been there before. And he's gone through for you. So you go through, he's been there before. He's gone through. And guess where he came out? He came out at the door of the grave, alive after 3 days. You know what that means? So will you. That's not a metaphor for something else. That's what's really going to happen. Because Christ has gone ahead of you. In your place, bearing your sin, to the cross, to the grave, and out again after 3 days. That's not some lesson that teaches us that there's always going to be a better tomorrow. That isn't a lesson at all. It's salvation. Something, God wasn't demonstrating something at the cross. He was doing something at the cross. Last few minutes here.
I listen. Do you hear the birds sing? Breathe deep and smell the fragrance of fresh raindrops on the green leaf. Friends, family, that's my life. That's my testimony. Life's been one long, lucky road. That's why I could never, ever, ever be an atheist. Luck. Good luck, bad luck. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. That's why I urge you to take the Bible seriously and know that Jesus knew what he was talking about. And that's why I say to you, don't throw away tomorrow. So we can be thankful every day. We can be hopeful when we're hurting. We can be optimistic when tomorrow looks bleak and black. Good luck or bad luck, God loves you. He really does. And you're experiencing him through moods and memories, yes. God is loving us in our laughter, in our tears, in our labor and in our leisure, in our rising up, in our lying down, in our birthing and in our dying, until we come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no sunrise, only eternal life and light and beautiful music forevermore. Amen.
Well, he's got a little prayer at the end here that it just kind of caps it off. I want you to hear this, and then I'll close out my final thoughts here on Robert Shuler's final sermon as senior pastor at Garden Grove. Here's his little prayer.
God, you're becoming more real to us. Thank you. Your love is coming through. We're really feeling it. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen.
All right, that's the sermon. Sad, sad sermon. He's very happy, but no message of hope, real hope, except good luck. Oh, bad luck too, but, you know, don't worry. God loves you anyway. Why does God love you? He says, this is my life, this is my testimony. Shuler's life, Shuler's testimony. What about Jesus' life? What about Jesus' death? What about Jesus' resurrection for sinners? He mentioned Jesus twice there at the end. One, Jesus knew what he was talking about. He did not elaborate. Number two, you come to stand before Jesus on the day where there is no dawning and there is no sunset. Jesus says he's coming back to judge sinners. And I'm one, and he's giving me no hope for that day whatsoever. Why does God love you? There's only one answer, and Shuler hasn't given it. He loves you because of what Christ did for you in his life, his death, his resurrection. Shuler has proclaimed his 50 years of life. He's failed to proclaim the one who is the life, Jesus. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, they're preparing future pastors to preach Christ rather than the Christian, even if that Christian is Robert Shuler. Their number, 1-800-481-2155, or find them at our website, issuesetc.org, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.